Bull.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
No sleep till...
I want to commend Chief Randall for his service to the city. This is a difficult job, maybe the most difficult we have. You are responsible for the safety and the well-being of this city. I always have the utmost respect for someone willing to answer that call, and that goes for Chief Randall and each and every PPD chief before him. It is the epitome of service, and we thank him for his contributions during his tenure. I wish him nothing but the best in his future endeavors.
So that was, you know, kind of what you would expect, okay? This wasn't going to be a big drama scene yesterday where D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, was both introducing Kristen Brown, who is now the interim police chief for PPD, and also explaining what happened with Eric Randall, the former chief, who resigned on Thursday, what seems to have been kind of a mutual decision, not a firing per se, but, give you the option to resign, you'll resign. I mean, DC didn't specifically say that, but that seems to be the piece together here. And even though it seems sudden, this was the result of a long series of, you know, poor internal performance and not reviews by superiors, but apparently a loss of confidence by the, you know, people within the department who said that they didn't think Randall was doing as great a job as he should have, and efforts by DC or other, people to whom Randall would report, I guess the city administrator, I assume, was be involved in some of this, to try to get things on track or get them to be better. And it just never got there.
Well, I understand this decision may have seemed abrupt externally. If you know me well, we don't make decisions flippantly or without data. I was elected to work for the 55,000 people who live here. In this strong mayor form of government, to serve our constituents effectively, my primary function is to serve and lead the 850 people who work for the city of Pensacola, including the 170 sworn officers among the 230 PPD employees. I cannot serve the 55,000 effectively if the people who proudly wear a badge or the city seal or the city logo aren't confident in the direction of leadership and can show up consistently unengaged as they serve the public.
Yeah, so they started doing this polling basically back under Grover, and, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more, but they weren't getting enough results really to show that they were doing the internal polling well enough, and they, you know, weren't really following through on what they found. But what they started to discover, what they started to see, was that basically all of the departments, people had high confidence, or those, you know, or the leaders, you know, either left or were asked to leave. PPD was the one example where you had an ongoing problem of low internal confidence reporting, and they tried to work with him and they tried to get it up and they tried to fix the numbers and make it better, and it just didn't work. And after a while, you have to make a change.
My administration has been in conversations around our longstanding expectations for PPD, specifically in both the trust and confidence in leadership and employee engagement that has been measured each year and in the 3 years prior to my service. Those expectations set inside the building had not been met to an agreed upon standard over months and years of time, and we mutually agreed to part ways last week. Again, that fact of function does not change my respect and appreciation for Chief Randall as a person or about his dedication to Pensacola.
And I'm sure the question that people who are either skeptical of all this or who disagree with the decision or who liked Chief Randall, I liked Chief Randall, just fine, got along, you know, great with him, no problem, is, you know, well, why didn't we hear about this before? Well, okay, how would that go? I mean, seriously, like, think it through. You've got a chief of police where enough of the other officers in the department at all levels are giving him low reviews, you know, significantly low enough reviews that the mayor is concerned about the quality of the department, okay? If you're the mayor, how do you handle that? You know, let's say the pattern became obvious a year ago and you discover it. What do you do? Do you have a press conference and say, you know, the police chief's just, we're having problems. We're hoping for the best, but we're having problems. Well, you can't do that. You can't, you know, you might as well fire him, right? You can't go out and say, you know, we got this police chief who's kind of not doing so great. I mean, we like him, we get along with him, but for whatever reason, he hasn't won the trust and confidence of the department. And it's a problem. But, you know, we're going to give him another 6 months to keep trying. I mean, you can't say that in public because then he doesn't have the confidence of the department or the people. And you can't have a police chief who's out there on, like, probationary duty. So you literally can't go to the public and say this is what's going on. So what do? You work on it internally, and you try to, you know, keep it in-house as much as you can. And then eventually you realize, you know, it's just, it's too much, and we're going to have to part ways. And if he's actually a good person who it just didn't work out, and sometimes you can have good, capable people for whom a job just doesn't work out, for whatever reason, you don't trash him when it's happening. You don't trash him after the fact. You just say, hey, it just didn't work out. And you'll be vague about it because you're not trying to create a problem. You're not trying to ruin a man's career. There's no, like, nefarious, horrible other thing happening. But it's an understandably delicate situation to explain to people that, you know, look, it just didn't work out. And there isn't a lot you can say in public about this. I actually really understand why they're not saying much.
I'm not going to speak for the majority of the department. I'll speak to why we measure employee engagement every year in the city, and sometimes more than every year in the city, so we can see what's working well, what our opportunities for improvement are. And by the way, the mayor or the mayor's office is not immune to that. We measure ourselves. How receptive is the mayor's office to needs in other departments, et cetera. So that's what I can speak to.
Yeah, I mean, even the mayor's office gets reviewed. They ask about everybody. And you say, well, come on. No, I mean, you can have a culture of excellence that is willing to look at its own problems and be honest about them, and you have to really show people that you're willing to do that. Or you're going to have the kind of culture where you do light feedback and everybody knows that the boss just expects you to say good things, right? I mean, you know, you can have all these different things. I remember when I was teaching, I used to, the very first day when I was introducing people to me, one of the things I always said was, I said, you can disagree with me and it will not affect your grade. And then I said, and how many of you have ever had a teacher say that and then it affected your grade? You know? And they're like, yeah. And I said, well, okay, so you're going to have to, you know, test me and see. I know that's frustrating. I know that's irritating. But those are two very different cultures in the classroom. You either have a classroom of, you know, propaganda and influence and coercion and punishment and reward, or you have a culture that is designed to, you know, cultivate disagreement and dissent and questioning and critical thinking, and then you reward people just for doing that stuff. Well, it's the same thing when you're the mayor of the city. You know, people learn over time whether they can criticize you or whether they can raise questions or whether they can challenge you, or they learn they can't. And it can't be figured out overnight, but, you know, I think we've had DC in place long enough now that, you know, they've learned that at least through the surveys, if not face-to-face, hey, this is a problem. We're not doing good here. And he'll listen, right? And he, when it came to PPD, he says this had been going on for quite some time.
We were very clear with leadership about what our expectations were, really since probably the hour I got here, and that's with every city department. And this department is no different. So when changes are made and we feel like that they're warranted, we don't do it because we got one email or over one anecdote or one story. And it's because sometimes you may see that in departments because you don't have data on your hands, and you do it consistently every year to understand the pulse of that department or the city at large. So again, there's no mystery to that this was a possibility if we didn't see the set expectations that we had. And we had reached that point.
It's only a surprise to people in the community on the outside. It's no surprise at all to people on the inside, is what he's saying. And certainly no surprise to Chief Randall, because, you know, he'd been given chances to improve things. And, you know, it just didn't work out. And as he says, we've got the data. We know what we were seeing. This is not a matter of one or two emails here or some random allegation there. This was that's the value of gathering data, so that you have the information that you can act on. The problem historically is that the data they were gathering wasn't adequate. And I mean, like long historically, it was good, but it was only a start. And also that they weren't acting on it. I mean, what's the good of finding out that the department head, in this case, the chief of police, you know, isn't working out if you're not going to do something about it? So they tried remediation. It didn't work out. So, you know, they said again, I don't know, but I'm assuming they basically said, okay, this hasn't been figured out. We're at a problem point, and, you know, depending on how stern the talk was, it was either, you know, you can resign or we're going to fire you, or, hey, this is the pattern. We've talked about this many times. What do you think we ought to do? Well, I should probably resign. I mean, you know, it could have gone either way. It doesn't really matter. The point is that was the end decision.
But any theories out there? I've heard them all in the last 4 days. That has anything to do with ICE, that it has anything to do, absolutely not. There's no ill will, nothing below board that took place and that I'm aware of under Chief Randall, and he's a good man. And my goal, honestly, is to certainly preserve a good man's dignity, which I would do for any police chief here, no matter what happened, because it's a very difficult job to have. So I have the utmost respect for him, and I certainly want him to have great success in his future endeavor.
Yeah, I mean, so what everybody kind of wants, honestly, I mean, I think if we're being sincere, what everybody wants is, well, he was bad at this, he was bad at this, he did this, he said this. You know, that's not going to happen. Who would want to work for an organization that would do that, right? I mean, this is good leadership by DC Reeves. He's telling you as much as he can. You got to fill in the gaps and read between the lines a little bit. But he's not trying to ruin Chief Randall. He's not saying he did a terrible job. He's just saying that based on the metrics they have and based on the expectations that they set, that this department wasn't up to what it should be compared to the other departments. And here we go. I mean, that's it. And he's, again, it could, Chief Randall might be great in some other department. There might be some other situation that he's a better fit for. He was from the outside, right? Of course, he was hired by Grover, you know, from the outside. There was a lot of controversy over that. And again, in the long run, it just didn't work out completely. And that's all there is to say about it. Now, Kristen Brown coming in, you know, she spoke yesterday quite a bit. And, you know, I know Kristen will talk about that in a second. But, you know, basically, she said all the relatively boring things that you're supposed to say as an incoming police chief.
My name is Kristen Brown, and I have worked for the city at the Pensacola Police Department for over 29 years. And this is an unbelievable, unexpected honor that I get to hold this position and see my coworkers, brothers and sisters, and other members of the department and the city grow with us as we go through this transition.
Of course. And, you know, she says she was surprised and a little scared in a way. And, you know, because, I mean, it's a big step up for her having been 29 years, and you know, but she's been trained to do this.
As you can imagine, there was a ton of emotions that I was feeling and going through, and from excitement to unbelievable nervousness to happy. And then the one that was really in the background of it all was the confidence. And this police department, the city of Pensacola, has unknowingly maybe trained me to do this job. They've had confidence in me. They have given me the education. They have given me the training to move forward and work with my brothers and sisters on moving this department forward.
Yeah, and, you know, her job is to, you know, continue the programs that were in place by Chief Randall that are good, to rebuild confidence within the department, to maintain trust and confidence within the community. And, you know, Hannah James had asked, you know, specifically from Channel 3 had asked, how do you rebuild confidence in the police force? And it's kind of funny. I love it when you know enough that you answer the question for the person in your head and then they give the exact same answer out loud that you would have given. Because as soon as Hannah answered that question, I'm like, Kristen Brown doesn't have to build trust in the department. Everybody loves her. Like, she is universally beloved by other members of the department, respected, admired. We had Chip Simmons on here the other day, former chief of police, talking about her glowingly. You know, I've known her for almost as long as we've lived here. I remember interviewing her for the first time when she got promoted to lieutenant as the first PPD female lieutenant in history, and then to captain, and then now to police chief. And there's no question mark here. And there's no, you know, she doesn't have to meet the people. She knows the people. She doesn't have to build their trust. She knows them and they trust her. It's, you know, this is a, you know, plug and play leader, basically. And the only reason that there's any kind of question mark at all about her is because Kevin Christman, who would have otherwise, I assume, been the interim chief because he was, you know, previously the interim chief when Tommy Leiter left, but he's just out on medical leave and can't do the job right now. And, you know, we'll see. Hopefully he returns the job. What happens then? I don't know. But she's in the drop, so she's leaving in January anyway. So here we are. You know, you had to make a decision. It was too long. It wasn't working with Chief Randall. And now she's the most senior person to put in the position, and there we go. That's it. And there's just not a lot. You know, I got all my questions answered yesterday. I don't really have any more questions. I mean, I have some questions. I'll ask DC questions at 7:35, but I'm comfortable with all of this. 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some things can steal your sunshine. Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken.
Aww. Anyone see my flip-flops? Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay and it just fits. Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Wait, Master. It might be dangerous. You go first.
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. You're drifting over the line, yeah. Your hands are tied, but you're losing grip. Quickly fix me, can you read the signs? Thumbing your way to Vegas day.
Good morning, 528 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We are watching this weird blobby system that has now manifested itself as some pretty severe thunderstorms over Fort Walton yesterday, and then now today, as we're watching it off to the south in the Gulf, the manifestation is a lot of lightning and rain and thunder. I don't know, maybe 50 miles out into the Gulf and then going west all the way to New Orleans. And, you know, we'll see over the next day or so if it has any real effects on us. Doesn't seem like it's likely to. It's going to pass over to New Orleans pretty quickly. But, you know, just watching this weird weather system over the last couple of days. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Medical debt will stay on credit reports after a federal judge overturned a Biden-era rule. The Consumer Finance Protection Bureau rule would have removed the debt. However, the judge found that that exceeded the Bureau's authority under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. President Trump is asking Attorney General Pam Bondi to release any credible documents from the Jeffrey Epstein files, dismissing the alleged client list as a political fabrication. Speaking to reporters on Tuesday, he accused former Presidents Joe Biden and Barack Obama and other Democrats of making up those documents.
This is the first time in my memory that I have ever heard Speaker of the House Mike Johnson and Democrat Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries say exactly the same thing about anything. And it was release the information. That's weird.
Yes. I mean,
and that should tell you something, too.
It definitely is new ground.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Police have arrested a suspect in the fatal shooting of a longtime American Idol music producer, Robin Kay, and her husband, Thomas DeLuca. The couple was found shot in their Encino home after police responded to a welfare check and forced entry into the house. American Idol called Kay a beloved cornerstone of the show since 2009.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. In other news, Pastor John MacArthur has passed away at the age of 86. You know, if you're in the sort of Christian teaching and talk world, John MacArthur was a giant of education and, you know, exegesis and preaching, and just in the Christian world, this is huge news. In the general world, you know, lesser well-known, which is sort of the case. He'd gotten some fame broader in a broader sense because he was kind of opposed to obeying COVID things during, you know, having church service in defiance of the COVID rules. But, you know, big deal in the Christian world.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The Senate voting last night to take up legislation to claw back $9 billion in foreign aid and public broadcasting after a tie-breaking vote from Vice President J.D. Vance.
On this vote, the yeas are 50 and the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative and the motion is agreed to.
Republican Senators McConnell, Collins, Murkowski joined Democrats in voting against it. Lawmakers are facing a Friday deadline. President Trump visited Pittsburgh Tuesday to praise companies for investing in Pennsylvania energy to develop AI.
President Trump touted more than $90 billion in investments from companies to build massive artificial intelligence data centers and energy projects to power them. The event featured administration officials and executives from technology and oil and gas firms.
That's Fox's Rich Edson. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now. 81 degrees in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. We'll get more on our weather forecast in just a few minutes. Well, for the first time since last week's shocking announcement that former police chief Eric Randall had left the Pensacola Police Department, we did hear from new acting police chief Captain Kristen Brown yesterday.
I have worked for the city at the Pensacola Police Department for over 29 years, and this is an unbelievable, unexpected honor that I get to hold this position and see my coworkers, brothers and sisters, and other members of the department and the city grow with us as we go through this transition.
And Brown said she had two responsibilities, one to keep the community happy and safe, another to those wearing the PPD uniform and to give them the support they need to serve the community. Mayor Reeves addressed the change, saying that PPD just hadn't measured up to his expectations in confidence in leadership or employee engagement. He did shoot down conspiracy theories about any below board behavior with the former chief, said he's a good man and wished him well in his future endeavors. Well, work begins on a storm drain project on West Quintet Road this week. That means the city will be closing the road to through traffic on Friday. Detours will be in place along 95A and Quintet Lane. While work is ongoing, those driving on the road during construction should use extra caution and follow crew instructions. An investigation continues after a man was shot in his home in Century yesterday morning.
We had a guy reports that he woke up and someone was in his house and that individual shot him twice. He was transported to the hospital. At this point, the injuries do not appear life-threatening. So we're looking into that.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, the victim, reported he was sleeping at the time, woke up, and somebody shot him twice. He survived and was able to call 911 for help. The victim said he lived alone, didn't have a roommate, didn't see the suspect. Right now, there's no word on any possible suspects. Sheriff Chip Simmons did say random acts of violence are incredibly rare, so they're looking into why the suspect would have chosen that particular home. A convicted killer is dead after being executed at the Florida State Prison. The Florida Department of Corrections announced last night that Michael Bell had died of lethal injection at 6:25 p.m. He shot two people to death in Jacksonville. In 1993, one of those victims was an 18-year-old woman. This marks the eighth execution in Florida this year. 5:34, News Radio 92.3. Right now, again, it is 81 degrees in Pensacola. We've got partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
A lot of life can happen between sips of Dasani. Like organizing a family movie night under the stars. or hearing an old favorite song and having an impromptu dance party. The crisp, clean taste of Dasani was made for all of life's thirst-worthy moments. Dasani, because life happens between sips.
Find your sip of Dasani today at your favorite local retailer and watch life happen.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 7:40 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If I talk too fast, you should listen faster. That's the problem. I try to do a show that I would find entertaining, and that means that I try to cover a lot and go fast. And I figure you may not get it all, but you get enough. That's my view. Chip Simmons.
I talk pretty fast,
too. You do, too. Most of the people that I interact with, they talk fast. Like Eric Gilmore. It's actually dangerous when Eric and I get on the radio together because we both talk fast, and we both try to cover a lot. So anyway. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons is here with us in studio. Chip, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. How'd the beach show go?
Hey, it went very well. You tell me. You were out there complaining.
I told all your deputies thank you, they're great, and they're, sporting their shorts and looking good, and I felt bad for them. They have to wear their tact vests, but, that is what it is.
Well, that's their job.
Yeah. It's hot and humid,
sure,
and
they're safe.
They're in the sun. And
no, we had, over the course of a couple of days here, hundreds of thousands of people going on going on to the beach, and except for some slow go with the traffic and parking issues, it went very well. We have an affidavit for one person on a fight. We had a report there was a stabbing. I guess some family member stabbed another person, but no one's given us the right information.
Okay.
Or what we think is the right information, so that's still under investigation. But by and large, with that larger crowd, over Wednesday, it started kicking off pretty well on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so four good days.
And you tow any cars, handful of cars?
We towed 28 cars.
Okay.
Which, again, sounds like a lot, but think about how many cars are going through there and how many people are just looking, searching for any place they can squeeze their car into to get, to get out down to the beach. It didn't seem like that many to me.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things.
Unless you're the one to get a car towed.
It's a rough day.
Yeah.
Of course, it's also a rough day. I saw a Prius parked in the sand, and I'm like, good luck. They were up to the frame of the body in the sand, and I thought
Prius and sand don't go together.
You can get into that space.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you're getting out of it. Let's see. We had a shooting overnight in Century. Is that right?
Yeah, I just got word. We had a guy reports that he woke up and someone was in his house, and that individual shot him twice. He was transported to the hospital. At this point, the injuries do not appear life threatening. So we're looking into that. It's you know, we get reports like this, and it's like, that doesn't sound random to me, you know, but we are investigating it, and obviously we'll look at it is to see if the suspect is someone that knows the victim or if there's some sort of connection to that home.
I mean, there can be just random, inexplicable, horrible crimes. I mean, we had like the Billings crimes. We know there can be.
Well, even that wasn't random.
And right. But even, you know, those are extraordinarily rare. The much more common is somebody knows somebody, you know,
it's an inside drug job at a business, right, or someone has been buying and selling drugs. They happen to notice what's going on. They get desperate and they go back for something. I'm not saying that's what happened in this one. Why would an individual choose that particular house, and why, you know, just take the opportunity to shoot a couple times unless you know something, or, you know, like you said, there's the truly random acts of violence are extraordinarily rare.
The one of the other things that happened recently, we had somebody shot and killed. This was six days ago, over apparently an ongoing dispute about a motorcycle that was riding on Frank Reeder Road. What happened here?
Yeah, that was it. There was a 20-year-old that was riding a motorcycle in a neighborhood, and this has been riding in motorcycles in this particular neighborhood has caused disturbances in the past, like a week before.
Because they're loud, or
I don't know. I think it's probably the way they're driving.
Okay.
And the thought there is that some residents don't think that they should be riding that way.
Okay.
So in this case,
I assume this is kind of a smaller road, maybe a country road, maybe a dirt road. I don't know.
Roads are fairly.
Oh, it's Frank Reeder. Okay, yeah. I got you. Right behind OLF 8. Okay, yeah. I got you.
So this 20-year-old was riding his motorcycle, and he noticed a guy that they had issues with in the past, filming him with his camera. So he goes back and picks up what is thought to be his stepfather. I'm still not certain of the connection there, but an older individual. And then they both got on motorcycles and went back down to talk to the guy that was videoing them. And at this point, you know, we talk a lot about reasonableness and whether you can defend yourself, and you certainly can defend yourself, but it has to be reasonable. So think about where they're at. They're in the middle of the road. The older gentleman, and I usually don't give the names of the victim, but the older gentleman gets off the motorcycle and, according to witnesses, reaches out his hand to either shake the hand or not necessarily in an aggressive manner. And the person that was originally videoing refused that handshake. And then there became an altercation in which the shooter pulls out a gun.
This is the same person who was filming.
The same person was videoing.
Okay, got it.
So he fired several rounds at the homicide victim to include, according to witnesses, shots while he was already down. And then he points again at the 20-year-old and says, "Do you want some of this?" And that sort of, I'm not an exact quote, but that's what he's saying. So what we do is we have to determine, is it self-defense? Is it something that a reasonable person would think is justified? And so what we have to do is we have to go by some of the location, obviously. We have to go by what took place beforehand. We have to go by the witness accounts that are not attached to one party or the other. And so in this case, the deputies that were on scene and the state attorney's office determined that it's not reasonable in that situation to pull out a handgun and shoot and kill someone, based upon the circumstances at the time.
Right.
So that's where we are. We ended up charging him with second-degree homicide. The state attorney's office, again, worked very well with us. We certainly appreciate that, because this is kind of one of those close ones, and typically the tie will go to the person defending themselves, but this is not on their property. This was in the middle of the road, and from what we gather, according to witnesses, the use of deadly force was unprovoked.
This incident on Frank Reeder Road. So just a fact clarification. So the guy who was upset enough to be filming or recording them or the one person originally on a motorcycle, was not recording them on video when they returned? That he didn't keep rolling the video? Because I would think the kind of person who rolls a video, I would think he would have recorded the incident. But
yeah,
no?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any video.
Okay.
There wasn't videoing at the time of the incident.
Okay, that just seems weird to me, but okay. But also, I mean, videoing in public of somebody driving a vehicle is 100% legal. That alone is 100% legal. It's no reasonable expectation.
You can videotape other people that are in the roadway. That is correct. Does it aggravate people? We get calls all the time about people videoing. Protesters do it a lot. They obviously, the cops get videoed all the time.
Right.
People always, or I say always,
often.
Many times there are people that are videoing police officers doing their job, and they're starting to ask all these questions: "What's your name? What's your badge number?" and that sort of thing. And my point is, it's perfectly legal for people to do that, and
right,
it's legal for people, as you just mentioned, to videotape another. Now, whether they were going to complain later to law enforcement, I don't know that information. Or maybe they're just trying to ignore each other. I really don't know.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, even if you're out in public doing it, you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. You can be recorded, even your face, your license plate, all of that stuff is all just right. In public, you know, that you, so, but I get people might be aggravated. That doesn't mean that, of course, they can take matters in their own hands.
And we get called all the time with people that are complaining because someone's videotaping them or their children.
Mm-hmm.
Is it weird? Probably.
It certainly can be, right.
It's certainly something that we would, you know, maybe want to look into. But quite honestly, if you're in the roadway or in a public place and you're videotaping something and we come up there and say, what are you doing? Unless they're committing a crime or we have reasonable suspicion or probable cause, they have the right to stand here and not say a word.
Right. And that's why I wanted to clarify, because there's many weird elements of this case, and I can see why it was a challenge for you guys and the state attorneys to figure out. Last one was Savannah Hale, I think, was arrested. Do I have this story right? She's the one that called you guys?
Yeah, she called us for an unrelated matter. She's sitting in the car. Deputies get there, and they notice it smells pretty strong of alcohol coming from this car. And she's in the driver's seat. She's in control of this car.
Okay.
So deputies say, hey, why don't you step out? I don't want you to drive away. You're not. You look like you may be impaired. And then it escalated to a point where she assaulted the deputy. She cut the deputy with, I guess she had a ring or some jewelry on her hand during a scuffle, and we ended up taking her to jail.
What was the original call about?
It said unrelated. I don't know exactly what it was about, but she had a concern enough to call the cops.
Didn't like what she was hearing from them, and so...
Well, I don't think she appreciated the fact that the deputy thought she was impaired behind the wheel of a car.
But they found alcohol in the car, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a couple of some cans. I'm not sure, but Loco something.
Yeah.
I don't deal with that
not
stuff.
A big consumer. Okay.
No, I'm not.
All right. Well, fair. I mean, yeah, you know, it's fine to call the police, but it's better to not call the police when you're already engaging in something you shouldn't be doing. And then don't fight with them when they show up, right? I mean, just general advice.
Don't fight us, bro.
That's it. That's my forever drop for you. Don't fight us, bro. Hey, last thing, and I won't ask you to get into it because, of course, the mayor's going to have a press conference this morning, you know, to talk about the resignation of Chief Eric Randall. You know, did he resign? Was he resigned? Was this a termination? You know, what all happened? But I did want to, you're former chief of police, and you know Kristen Brown, and, you know Kevin Christman, and you know Eric Goss, and you know all of these people very well. So if there's anything about this that you wanted to comment, I did want to give you a chance to comment because, you know, you may have a thought. And if you have no thought at all, then we'll wrap up the interview.
Well, I think my thought right now would be to congratulate Kristen Brown. I've known Kristen for a long time. You know, worked with her quite a bit over there. And I had a conversation with her a couple of days ago and told her how proud I was and how supportive we were of her and the job. It's a difficult job. These are, again, I know I have been there. And I told her that whatever advice or help I can give her, well, I'm certainly available to it. It's historic. She's the first female police chief, even though it's on an interim basis. She is in charge at the Pensacola Police Department. I congratulate her. I wish her well. I think that the police department's in good hands with her at the helm, even if it is for a couple of months. I know Kevin Christman and Eric Goss, who is now the interim acting deputy.
Yeah, right. Because Kevin's out on medical leave, right?
Yeah, I've known them all for a long period of time. I think that the Pensacola Police Department has always been a quality operation, and I think they'll continue to be as long as they're running the agency.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing. You know, she's being the first female. We've got two local. I mean, like, you know, the chief of Milton, right? Chief Frank is a female, and chief of Pensacola, at least temporarily, is a female. Of course, Jenny Craner, fire department, is a female. She's been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, I don't know what it means for anything, but it's just interesting first ever.
I think that I'm thinking about even the sheriff's office. We have our first female chief of staff. Whitney Lucas is at the sheriff's office, probably the highest ranking female employee at the sheriff's office that we've ever had. So I think that it's a matter of, hey, wherever you can get the talent, you bring the talent in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what is being reflected here locally.
And I also think, you know, we don't talk about this much, but, you know, we've talked about it a couple times in the past, that the interaction between PPD and Escambia Sheriff's Office and Gulf Breeze and Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, I mean, you know, all of these local law enforcement agencies get along extraordinarily well. But one of the sort of advantages that we have right now in Escambia County is, you know, we have not one but two former chiefs of Pensacola Police who are at the senior most levels of the Escambia Sheriff's Office. So, you know, you and Tommy don't just know, like, at a distance what it's like to be a police. You were the police chiefs in Pensacola, and you're very well familiar with that, which means you interact well with them.
That doesn't happen everywhere.
Right.
We go to sheriff's conferences, and there's in some counties there are so many municipalities, it's almost mm-hmm. impossible for them to all get along. But we get along very well. That they handle the calls in the city of Pensacola for the most part, and then we'll handle the ones in the unincorporated areas. And then we help each other whenever needs arise.
Very good. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us informed about the law, about events in our community, and keep us safe, man. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Always do. 550 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has got an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, they've got about 300 cars on the lot, and they're always changing because people buy, and then they are also buying. And one of the things, we don't talk a lot about this with Frontier, but they're not just a great place to buy good quality used cars, they're a good place to sell good quality used cars. So, you know, if you have one that's a year, 2-3 years young, low miles, great condition, which is the kind of cars they're interested in because that's what they sell, and then they warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles, but they want to sell good quality cars. So if you have one of those to sell, you know, of course you can, you know, try and sell it yourself. That's fine. Go on Facebook Marketplace and see what happens. And I mean, people do that, okay? But if you want to, you know, take care of it more easily, don't want to go through the trouble or the hassle or whatever, just take it to Frontier, and they'll offer you a price on the spot. And then you can decide if that's good enough for you or not. And, you know, if you want a little bit more but you're willing to wait, they can do consignment sales too, where, you know, they're not going to charge you anything. It just means that, you know, you have a minimum price and that's going to be a little bit higher than they would just straight up pay you, and you guys work out a deal, and that's fine. But the point is, if you've got a good quality car, and not just a place to buy them, they're a place to sell them too. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan. And I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
You're not going to want to miss tonight's county fair. I'm going
to
be...
We are your window to your community.
Did you see the last 5 minutes of that football game last night?
Oh, man, I saw the whole thing.
And a lifeline to keep you safe when danger is near.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can. This is one of the biggest storms.
We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Kimberly Spencer, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
You know, things that are just like these constants in your life that then, of course, are no longer that way. And I don't know, there's something nostalgic about it. But, you know, God, how long did Bob Barker host Price Right? It's like 30 years, right? I mean, a really long time. And I was actually surprised to learn that Drew Carey has done it nearly as long, I think. There was some, maybe it was that, or maybe it was the, who's the guy who hosts the Family Feud now that it's like all the lurid material? Steve Harvey. Yeah, that he has done that longer than Richard Dawson. I mean, when you start to look at some of these historic people you think are the long-standing ones, and then other ones are kind of, you know, it's just surprising. Anyway, that was probably the most informative segment of news I have ever... No facts, just all made up. It's like we're playing Whose Line Is It Anyway? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Medical debt will stay on credit reports after a federal judge overturned a Biden-era rule. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau rule would have removed the debt, but the judge found that that exceeded the Bureau's authority under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Kilmar Abrego-Garcia is due in court in Tennessee today. Of course, he was deported to El Salvador earlier this year before being returned to Tennessee. He's facing human trafficking charges. A federal judge is concerned that he could be deported once he is released on bond. And there's new study that finds no link between aluminum and vaccines and health problems. Challenging claims made by U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is from researchers in Denmark, where they analyzed data from over 1 million children, and they say they found no connection between aluminum and conditions like asthma, allergies, or autism.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. So the crack team of Andrew and PJ, John is out for the day. PJ sitting in for him. We went and did our research real quick because we found ourselves talking about the length of show hosts. And I remember it had been a story not that long ago. So here's actually the facts. When it comes to Steve Harvey, 14 years for the Family Feud. Richard Dawson done it for 10 years, which I think will surprise a lot of people because they think of, oh, God, it's Richard Dawson. Yeah, not that long. Not really. Who loves you, baby? I know that's Kojak, but still. Anyway, and boy, did Richard Dawson kiss a lot of ladies. You ever watch an old Family Feud clip? He kisses all the ladies.
My wife hated that.
Right on the mouth. Right out in the open. All the ladies. And they were thrilled about it. I happened to watch one recently. It's the weirdest thing. You're like, oh, he's basically, you know, I mean, if you could get pregnant from that area, they'd be, you know, like that was a real wow. Okay. Meanwhile, Drew Carey, 18 years almost on The Price is Right, and Bob Barker was 35 years. Not the longest, though. I think, didn't Alex Trebek wind up being the longest game show host at like 37 years? So anyway, just, and Wheel of Fortune, 39 years. That's right. That was even longer. So there you go. There's your actual facts-based segment on game show hosting duration. If you need to get a roof, you want to, what are you looking for? I mean, you want a good price, but obviously you want a good roof. And mostly what you want is just confidence. Because I know you kind of just want to make sure that everything turns out right. And that's probably the biggest issue, is just making sure that you can count on it. Well, Quality Roofing Solutions, they've been doing this for 19 years here locally in Pensacola. Okay, so they have been around, I mean, almost 2 decades. It's a long time, right? Brian Ward started the company, and their goal is simple. They just want to do good quality roofs. It's right in the name, Quality Roofing Solutions. They want to be there for you when you have questions and to explain things as they're going through the process and to, you know, make sure they know you're not an expert and they won't treat you like you should know. I mean, they're just going to answer your questions, help you understand. And then they're going to take a bunch of photos and put them digitally online so that you have access to them anytime you want them. After, you know, like if there's an insurance claim because something terrible happens 5 years after they do a roof, you've got all the information you need for the claim is in the photos, before and after photos online. They're there to help, to do it right. Rated a 4.9 on Google. 4.9 with about 1,000 reviews. That's unbelievable. Very invested in the community, and basically they just want to make sure and take care of you. And, you know, I have great confidence in them. And I was kind of watching their operation, some of the things that they do. My wife was telling me that on Nextdoor, periodically this, you know, who do I call for a roof question kind of comes up, and there's, you know, these are the ones that we recommend or that people generally recommend. Their name is always on that list. Always on that list. 777-0961 for Quality Roofing Solutions, or visit them online at qualityroofingsolutions.com. 559 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? I don't know the truth of this story one way or the other, because I have seen conflicting headlines on it and read the stories and still don't know the truth of it. But depending on whom you ask, Uno is either going to be a casino gambling game now in some casinos, which I do not understand, but people will bet on anything, so I guess they'll bet on Uno, because it's not a game of skill. Anyway, or this is all a big misunderstanding, and it's a purely promotional stunt by Uno to have people invited to play in special Uno rooms in casinos, but not to gamble on it? I don't know. There's something with Uno and casinos, and I can't quite figure out the truth of the story.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News.